Well, it may be a few years since you've heard that amazing phrase, weapons of mass destruction. You remember that whole time when we had such a debate, are there actually weapons of mass destruction? Which country might have them? Anybody else remember that, or is it just me? We heard that over and over again. Well, let me introduce you to weapons of self-destruction. I'm not sure if the weapons of mass destruction ever existed or not, but I do know for a fact there are weapons of self-destruction that Satan loves to use to make sure that we are not who we were meant to be or who we were created to be. So as we look at this list, the idea of shame, you cannot be happy and feel ashamed at the same time. When you feel ashamed, when you feel guilty, when you feel regrets, it robs you of your happiness. God doesn't want you to walk around feeling guilty. God doesn't want you walking around feeling ashamed. God doesn't want you walking around with regrets. In fact, that's why He sent Jesus to the cross to die for all of our sins. But shame is the first, the number one destroyer of happiness. How about the second weapon of self-destruction? Uncontrolled thoughts. If you don't learn how to control your thoughts will ruin your life because you say stuff to yourself that causes unhappiness, causes grief, causes pressure. You must learn how to control your thoughts. And then we think in terms of the third weapon of self-destruction, compulsions. Compulsions are those inner drives, inner desires. You can call them lusts. You can call them habits. You can call them impulse. They're the things in your life that you feel like I just have to do, even though you know it leads you down a wrong path. I just had to do it. Those compulsions, you've got to learn how to deal with those, how to fight these weapons of self-destruction. Fear is in our arsenal. Fear is an enormous destroyer of happiness, of potential, of God's purposes for your life. It will limit your life. You've got to learn how to master your fears. Mary and I were just talking about that before church started today. We get reports at every hand of how things are happening in Walmart or possible attacks in the movie theater. Or, attacks onto our school. And we literally could live in a perpetual state of fear, never wanting to step out the doors of our house when we have to then somehow walk into that fear and realize where it comes from. Hopelessness is on our list. It keeps us from keeping on. When you start to feel hopeless about anything, you get discouraged, you want to give up. If you feel hopeless about your marriage, if you feel hopeless about getting married, if you feel hopeless about your finances, or you feel hopeless about your health, hopelessness is a self-destructive weapon that we don way too often. Bitterness, because life is unfair and we don't all get the same thing. Life is broken and we're stuck. Some people get better than you do, and you get jealous, you get envious. Some people hurt you, and you can either get better or bitter. And bitterness is a cancer that will eat you alive. It's a poison that will eat you on the inside. You never hurt other people with your bitterness like you hurt yourself. And the only people that really seem to prosper from bitterness are those that are working against what God has ever intended. And then ultimately, we have insecurity on this list of weapons of self-destruction. You've got to deal with this one, because if you don't learn how to deal with insecurity in your life, it's going to cause you to do foolish things. When you're insecure and you're trying to show everybody else that you're very confident, you sometimes end up saying things that you never would say normally. You'll end up doing stupid things. You'll have a mentality that says, I have to pose as somebody else, that I really can't be myself. And then we only try to fake people or to impress people from a fake perspective. Insecurity is, in fact, one of those weapons of self-destruction. So what do we do with that? What do we do with this list? Well, we're going to be going through the chapter of Romans quicker today than next Sunday as we look at just a few points that Paul, when he was dealing with things out of chapter 7, he listed, not in exactly those same terms, those same issues, but he says there are things that plague all of our lives, and it is a part of who we are, and how can I get myself out of the way so that Jesus can actually show up and do something real? And even in the very first section here, we need to be reminded daily what Jesus did for me. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from Christ Jesus, from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses could not save us because of our sinful nature, but God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent His one and only Son in a human body like ours, except that ours are sinful. God destroyed sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so the requirement of the law would be fully accomplished for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. If we are trying to get set free from our own weapons of self-destruction, it involves being able to go daily and be reminded that Jesus has paid the price for us. We're reminded daily about a lot of things. We're reminded daily that we need to have food in order to still survive. We'll get something to drink along the way through a daily basis. We're reminded that clothes are pretty nice to have, especially on a day like today. Those that had a few layers. Anybody bring gloves with them today? I see one hand, two, three. You all thought it's number four, and Jim's got them on. All right, great. You know, you all were thinking ahead. You know, we need to be clothed. We need to be thinking about that. But even more so, can we daily be reminded that Jesus has prepared not only this life, but the life to come. And it really, it helps us harness those weapons. It helps us put into perspective those things that work against us in so many ways. As we go through chapter 8 of the book of Romans, we also want to ask the Holy Spirit to give me better thoughts. So if I have all these weapons of mass destruction, self-destruction that are in my arsenal, then I'm going to somehow need to put those away and pick up something else. Because we're going to think about something. We're going to live our life doing something. But this is what Paul reminds us: to ask the Holy Spirit to give me better thoughts. In the first couple verses there of chapter 8 and 5 and 6, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Anybody interested in getting to life and peace? To actually be a part of something where it's life-giving? To have a peace of mind that even when we hear the latest tragedies or the latest threats that may be a part of what's going on in our life, that there is a peace that passes all understanding? It is given to us through the Holy Spirit. We ask the Holy Spirit to give us better thoughts. And if we ask Him to give us better thoughts, He, in fact, will respond. We can have a mindset that is basically tuned to the idea that things will not ever get better. or there is a mindset that comes in understanding from what we see in Scripture, from what the Bible says, from what we have experienced in our own life, that there is something that is far better to look forward to. It's almost like if we're there flipping the channels, we've got to find the right channels to tune into. The Holy Spirit is waiting for us to ask Him to come in and give us better thoughts, better opportunities in which we can go forward in life. I would encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit to have free access to your mind. You could say something like this: God, you have put your Spirit inside of me. I give you free access to my mind, 24 hours a day. I invite you to suggest good thoughts. And why would we even want to do that? Because when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it will always be messages of truth. And the Holy Spirit that we hear speaking into our life, it will always line up with what we see in God's Word. And then ultimately, as we continue our journey through Romans chapter 8, we get to a third idea that we need to realize we have the ability to say no. Now, we think our arsenal is pretty well full. How can I say no to shame, or compulsions, or hopelessness, or insecurity, or uncontrolled thoughts, or fear, or bitterness? How can I possibly say no to those things that seem to be so overwhelming in our lives? We need to remind ourselves on a daily basis that we have the ability to say no. But the ability does not come through our own source of willpower. In Romans 8, verse 9, it says, "You are now controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you," and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And there is a battle that rages. My old self, my natural self, my sinful self wants to reign supreme in all that I do. It wants to pick up all those weapons and let them control my life. But God's Spirit is now dwelling in me. And there is a different sheriff in town. I mean, there's someone different that needs to be in control. And it's only as I have the ability to allow God's Spirit to be the one that does that. Galatians 5:16 says this to us: "Let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy the desires of the human nature. If I let the Spirit live through me, does it say I won't have desires? It says I won't satisfy the desires." In other words, do I still have the same desires, the same urges, the same compulsions that I always did? Yes. Do I have the same temptations? Yes. Do I still have the same urges and compulsions? Yes. But do I have to fulfill them? What's the answer? No. Because I have a new power inside me, and it's not just my willpower anymore. I've heard folks say, "But why should I limit any desire to my life that seems natural? Why should I rein it in if it's a natural desire?" Not everything natural is good for us. Arsenic is natural. But if you drink it, what? You will not survive. It will not be good for you. A lot of natural things are poison. So just because it says it's natural doesn't mean it's good. There are things in my old nature that are very natural for me to do, but that does not mean it brings me to a better place in connection with Christ. Some others say, well, I feel this way. Why shouldn't I give in to it? Well, there's something that we have in our life called maturity. And it's more than just getting a different color in your hair. Maturity is when we actually do the right thing. Not what we may feel like doing because we feel like doing it, but to actually have some other thoughts in mind. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 says it this way. So, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligations whatever under your old sinful nature to do what it begs you to do. And maybe we need to hear that more than anything else. We do not have to be a slave to what we used to do. We do not have to respond in the same way that we would have responded if it was just me trying to get through life. So we have a new help in our journey for us in order to say no. When somebody says, I'm a Christian, but I can't stop myself, then that's absolutely right. We can't stop ourselves. But it is the Spirit of God living in us that gives any of us the power to do that next right thing. Ultimately, we get to hear his final conclusion. And I'll even read a little bit more of Romans chapter 8 as we take communion together today. And this is not so that we can see how much we don't measure up, but he's telling us in Romans 8, none of us will ever measure up. So here's the deal. God continues to invite. He invites us to come, not only at his table, which we're going to do today, but he invites us to join him in this journey we call life. He invites us to allow the Holy Spirit to move in, not only to our neighborhood, but into our very minds, into our very thought life, so that we ultimately can be free, to get out of the way and to be set free from those things that so clearly used to define me. Used to be who I was, used to be who I still want to be if left to my own desires. But then I get to set those aside and be a part of a bigger picture that brings me to life and to peace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we're going to prepare now, even as we are thinking in terms of our mind this morning, to set aside our weapons of self-destruction. Lord, too many times we have let those weapons control us. Weapons of shame and compulsions and hopelessness, insecurity, uncontrolled thoughts, fear and bitterness. They literally can engulf who we are. But I thank you, Lord, that we, through your Spirit, have the power to set those aside so that we can be set free to be your children, and that you have invited us to come to a table like this morning, to be reminded of this Lamb of God who came to take away all the weapons of self-destruction and to not let them have power over us anymore. We do understand that we will never be able to measure up on our own, but that even in our sinfulness, you died for us so that we could have life. And we come to your table to accept your grace today, to receive the mercy that is extended, even as we take the cup, even as the bread is broken, as a symbolic reminder of how your Spirit is now unleashed so that we can have life and peace. In your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.